We're going to continue with this concept, this idea of vision this morning. I'm going to see if I can change the slides from here. I want to do that. Let's see. Yes, there you go. Speaking about vision. Habakkuk. You guys all know about Habakkuk, right? I mean, he's one of the well-known prophets in the Bible, correct? Maybe not one of the most familiar ones. He lived about the same time as Jeremiah, and the book bearing his name contains a dialogue that he had with the Lord of Heaven, which likely took place sometime near the end of King Josiah's reign. That's just a little background about the time period. The crux of the conversation is a complaint from Habakkuk about what he perceived to be injustice in the world. He questions what seems to be divine inactivity. You know, that idea of saying, where are you, God? Why don't you do something about the present circumstances? Now, he was not the first person to have wondered what God was doing in the world, nor has he been the last. I mean, you probably know a lot of people who have said that very thing, or at least they've thought it. Maybe we've thought it ourselves, so we haven't verbalized it. Where are you, God? What are you doing? In this case, God didn't leave Habakkuk in the dark for long. Though the answer was not what the prophet hoped for, the message was very clear. God was not only working in the situation, he was actually using the situation to awaken his people to their own failings and their need to repent. Yet, in the discourse that we find in this book, the Lord also makes a divine promise to intervene in a more spectacular way at just the right time to put everything right. Then, after communicating that to the prophet, we find a holy mission being given to him, and it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. This is the English Standard Version's rendering of that. This is God speaking. He says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. To be clear, now the vision that God gave the prophet here had nothing to do with church growth. But there are some principles here that I think we need to give careful consideration today. Okay? The Lord instructed the prophet to be sure to clearly communicate his message of hope and future to his people. Did you get that from the text? He said, write it down. Make it plain. So that anyone who reads it and carries that message to someone else will be able to do that accurately, correctly. And this is a message of hope, see? And though it might seem like, wow, the deliverance that we're looking for, your intervention is not coming as quickly as we'd like for it to, it's coming. It is coming. Wait for it. Isn't that what he says? Wait for it. It surely will come. Cool. Now, why would it be so necessary for God to have the prophet, convey this so accurately and so clearly? At least for two reasons. First, this prophet evidently wasn't alone in feeling that God was, sleeping on the job. God's people needed reassurance that he was there, that he was aware, and that he cared. Secondly, the people couldn't be expected to understand that. They couldn't clearly get the vision if it wasn't clearly laid out for them. Now, as I meditated upon this, I'm moved to say that none of the leaders of this church today claim we have heard from God in the precise manner that Habakkuk did. Yet, whenever we pray in faith for discernment and direction for the Lord's people, individually and collectively, we should expect a reply. We should expect an answer. And when God reveals his will to us, we have an obligation to pursue it and to pass it on to others, don't we? As we previously shared, We believe God has confirmed a vision and a mission for us here at Calvary. He's confirmed our mission again to be, whoops, I went too fast, sharing the love of Christ. You've heard that a few times over the past few weeks, haven't you? You'll hear it more. We want again for it to be fresh in your heart and your mind, that that's what we are about. Our mission is to share the love of Christ in all that we do. All that we do. So what's our mission? Sharing the love of Christ. And our vision is to do that by, I need a click. This isn't working from this distance. Would you change the slide for me? By connecting with our community, inspiring the church, and equipping one another to serve. Again, not the first time you've heard this. We want you to get it. We want to clearly convey it. We want for the vision to be captured that we're casting. So let's break it down a bit, okay? First, let's consider the concept of connecting with our community. Now, Lord willing, you will already have seen some shifts that we're making in our outreach and advertising campaigns to attract more attention to the community of believers assembling here. Now, I want to share just a sampling of some engaging ways that we're trying to do this through social media, okay? Here's the first one. If you just change the slide for me, please. Anybody recognize this gal? Kathy Brogren, a member of our church. You know, she was our volunteer of the month. And again, she posted this on Facebook. It's a wonderful post. It talks about the testimony that she has to give about her interaction, how she came to know the church here, how the church has been a blessing to her. And she's been such a blessing to us. Amen? She absolutely has. So we're trying to share things like that, some insights, some testimonies from people who have experienced the blessings of being connected to this body of believers. You think that's a good idea? Guess what? You can do that without our permission, without our support. You can do that. Any of you can if you have an Instagram or a Facebook account or something. You can do that. You can post your own personal testimonies. But we want to highlight some volunteers, some servants here at the church periodically to do that. So if you're interested in being personally involved in that, let us know. Because we want to do that. Here's another way. I think you might know this guy. Then the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead and in our transgressions. He says, it's by grace you've been saved. Wow. God is rich in mercy? Yes. Now, when I think about that, as many times as I've ask him to transfer a healthy deposit from his account into mine, you'd think he'd be bankrupt. But there's no limit to his vault of mercy. Aren't you glad? Snippets like that from lessons or inner service are going to be put on Instagram. We're already doing that. Little things like that. You know, minute long. You thought, boy, that was a long. No, it was only a minute. But again, just things to grab attention to, some things going on here at Calvary that we're excited about, things that, if you will, indicate to those who aren't aware of where our heart is. So if there are things, perhaps in an assembly, in a service, it doesn't have to be from a sermon, it could be a snippet of a song that particularly moved you, it could be something, again, from a communion meditation, it could be a prayer that was, something that really grabbed you, it got your attention, it meant something specifically to you that you would like to highlight, let us know. Because the plan is for us to be doing at least one of those a month. Okay? So rather than us just be hand-picking them, we'd like your input about that, okay? So please see us about that if you think, wow, I particularly in the lesson, yes, you know, last week, this stood out to me. Let us know, because we can post those. And the idea is for people to be engaged in social media, their attention to be grabbed, and for them to be led to look deeper and to come closer. And there's a whole lot more that we're working on. We're also going to be presenting some new challenges and opportunities for volunteers to work alongside others who are already making a difference in our community. We're presently involved with some local organizations such as Crossroads Kids Club, you know that, the Rescue Mission, Carpenter's Place. But we're in the process of engaging with others such as Young Life, Rock House Kids, and the Rockford Pregnancy Center. Our hope is not only to bless more people in our community, but also to build some bridges with a younger demographic in our area. Because we want to not just reach out, we want to draw in as well. Recognizing also how many people are struggling with pain and loss in our community, the plan is to launch a new program called Grief Share in the fall. And I've already talked to a few people here at the church who are going to co-officiate that with me and facilitate it. So we're going to do that to provide for our community some support and encouragement, some hope in desperate times. But not just for the community out there, it's also for the church family. There's some grieving and hurting people in our church family too, aren't there? We know that. And so we recognize the need to be more supportive and encouraging and helpful. We try to do it in the time of the crisis, but sometimes the grief continues, doesn't it? It lingers. So we're planning on doing that in the fall. So we want to bless again the community at large, but also the community of faith that meets here. Which brings me to our goals for inspiring the church. Of course, we're going to continue to offer uplifting times of praise and worship, as well as relevant classes and Bible studies. We're also, though, going to be concentrating on providing a more conducive atmosphere for building relationships. How many of you know it's hard to get to know somebody very well by staring at the back of their head for an hour on a Sunday morning? And some of us have got some lovely heads. But it can be difficult really to get to know somebody in that process. So we're planning some renovations that may seem to be at first merely cosmetic as we freshen things up with a bit of decorating. Yet we have more in mind than just a facelift. Part of our goal is to make our facility more inviting to visitors, but also focusing on creating a space for gathering and meaningful times of fellowship for everyone. Not just once in a while, but every Sunday. Every Sunday. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, beginning in June, for one thing, we're going to offer some coffee and water and tea in our library and spill over into our fellowship hall when it gets so large we can't accommodate it in a library. Now, it'll still be a library and we'll still have classes there, but on Sunday mornings, we want it to be a gathering place, a place to gather and have some refreshments. But more than that, we want you to invite friends and neighbors to join you for some physical refreshment, but also for some spiritual refreshment. We're going to be more deliberate in celebrating those who already faithfully serve the church here as well and who are serving in our community. Just a little thought here. I know that you invite people to come to assembly. What about inviting them to join you beforehand for some fellowship and then assembly? How about doing that? And, you know, expect them to come, meet them at the door, escort them in to that gathering place, spend some time with them, get to know them better, encourage them, and then ask them to sit with you throughout the assembly. Make them feel welcome and let them know they're loved and you're pleased to have them here. So take that extra step, and we'll be working on how we can equip you better to do that in the future too. Now, I know that people don't serve here at the church for recognition. You don't do it for that reason. But Romans 13:7 is very clear. We need to give honor where honor is due. We need to do that. So we're going to be more proactive in mentoring and training those who we wish to be better equipped to serve. Now, that's a pretty good segue into the third part of our vision, equipping one another to serve. It should come as no surprise that we can't do all of these things without your help. I referred to Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16 the other week, where the Apostle Paul says this, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, that's the church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Now listen, as each part does its work. not as some parts of the body do the work, as each part. So each one of us has a responsibility to represent Christ as we share the love of Christ in our community, here in the assembly, in our church, but also in the community at large. In Romans 12, Paul also addresses this further when he says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Did you notice that verse 7 says some of us have a special gift to step up and volunteer wherever the need arises? Some have see a particular gift for that. Yet according to the passage, all of us are called to serve with whatever skills and abilities we've been blessed with whenever we're called upon to do so. So may I urge you right now to do something? From this moment forward, when you see others working on a project, big or small, ask them what they're up to and offer to lend a hand. Just do, what are we doing? Could use a hand. There's some who just do that naturally. Some of us need prompted to do that, but I'm prompting and urging us all to do that. Now, when we do that, some may say, no thanks, I got this. That moves me to make a confession. I've too often responded that way. It's not always been wise. Part of equipping others to serve is asking for their help and certainly accepting it when it's offered, and then training them to work alongside you to learn how to serve in a particular area. Leaders must delegate responsibility too whenever possible. And I've not always been the best at that. So, to those who, like me, may prefer to just do it yourself, you ready? Don't! Don't! It might challenge us a bit, say, well, you know, I could probably just do it quicker by myself because I know what I'm doing. Not always the best thing to do, is it? So offer to help, and those of us who are maybe leading and doing something, accept help when offered and ask for help. Welcome assistance. We need to work together. And so often that's the case. Yes, we all have work to do, but some of us don't work well with others. And we need to. We need to work together because that's how the body is most effective. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans 12. Now, did you see that one of the ways to serve had to do with giving? No doubt there are those, according to the text, who are particularly blessed not only with the heart to do that, but also with the means to do that. Some have that gift, that particular gift for that. But again, we know that we are all called to give to the service of the kingdom. At our meeting after services today, our assistant treasurer will be presenting our proposed budget for the next fiscal year. It's been made available for consideration for the past few weeks. So if you've taken the time to look, which I hope you have, you'll have noticed that there are some projected increases in several categories. Most of these are due to, well, just rising expenses, rising costs. And we don't always have a lot of control over those, but we have to anticipate them. Some others, however, will be expenses that we expect to incur to implement some of the improvements we're planning to make. Though thanks to the generosity of this community of believers, this church, we're not anywhere near a financial crisis. Aren't you glad? Yet, we're going to need some more revenue to meet expenses going forward. Now, that can happen in a couple of ways. Either we'll all increase our tithes and offerings, or, though I never want it for to be our motivation for doing so, we increase the number of potential givers through adding more members to the flock. We don't want it to be that motivation. We want it to be the motivation of meeting their needs, bringing them closer to Jesus, sharing the love of Jesus with them. But as they come and connect with us, obviously we'll be challenging them to participate with the work of the church here. I suggest to you it's going to take both. Those of us who can, to go a little deeper into our pockets. Those of us who are tapped out already, just pray about that. And be proactive in encouraging others to come and be part of the ministry and the serving here. We're all going to be challenged to do our best for kingdom's cause by serving Christ and our community with our time, with our talent, and yes, with our treasure. As always, we're asking for your patience with us. We're asking for your trust in us as your leaders as we work through this process. Having said this, we invite you to come to us with any questions or concerns about anything we may propose, and we'll present later a means by which you might be able to do that effectively. While keeping our focus on Christ's vision and holding tightly to our scriptural convictions, the adjustments we plan to make may involve restructuring some of our current ministries to better align with our purpose, with our mission, with our vision, as well as perhaps creating some new ministries to help us fulfill this mission. If you have a heart to serve, rest assured there's a place for you to do that here at Calvary Christian Church. If you're not certain what that would look like, you're not even certain what your particular gifts or callings might be, pray about it right now as we pray about it. But as you're praying, don't be surprised to be approached by someone who appreciates you, who sees potential in you to make a difference that you might not realize you even have. So be ready for that. Before I close out this lesson today, I'm reminded that today is the day of Pentecost, or at least the Sunday of Pentecost. How many of you knew that? It is. It's on this day when a lot of churches throughout the world commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's recorded in Acts 2. And I'm going to address this further next week. But for now, let me say this. The followers of Jesus were following his instructions to wait in Jerusalem to receive the power they need to proceed with his mission. Verse 1 through 4 of Acts 2 tells us that on that first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection, the Spirit of God came upon them, enabling them to share the love of Christ with the whole world. All who accepted Jesus as Lord and the Savior thereafter received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And though this is nearly 2,000 years later, his power continues to be available for us yet today. In other words, the waiting's over. We have what we need. We have the power of the Spirit. We have his revelation. We have his vision. We have the calling. We have it. So it's time to get on with our mission and vision that God is giving us, to share the love of Christ with our friends, our family, our neighbors, and all that we have opportunity to do so. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this church, this body of believers. I want to thank you, Father, for her heart, the heart that you have given her. There are so many people here who, yes, they trust you. They trust you, Father, and they're living their lives in ways that reflect that. We're praying, Father, that you enable us and equip us and continue to motivate us to do that more and more. Father, I'm praying, too, that as we go forward with some renewed energy, I hope and pray, Father, and just enthusiasm about what you want to do in us and through us in this community. Father, I pray that you will just infuse us with more of that every day too. Because sometimes, yes, we could be a little bit like the people in Habakkuk's day. Can wonder, okay, well, we're trying to do some things and we're not necessarily seeing the results. God, are you blessing this or not? Help us to wait and trust and continue moving forward with the vision we believe that you've given us. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you again for enabling us to know you, to be able to respond to you, to be able to love you in return for the great love you've showered upon us through Jesus. Father, once more, if there are people who are in the sound of my voice who aren't even understanding what we're talking about here, Father, as much as we've tried to articulate it for the congregation here, we pray, Father, that we will be able to just reach out to folks with love, meet them where they are, as you met us in Jesus, to love them and to share the love of Christ with them and encourage them, inspire them. Father, may your Spirit be at work, convicting our hearts and theirs too, to fulfill the mission Jesus gave us. We pray in his holy name, and those who agree say, amen.